There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Giddy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
One, two, three, four.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is your old friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all four corners of the globe, this bluish-green planet that we call our Earth. Folks, I have received emails, feedback, and such adulation and support and excitement over last week's podcast. And our guest, that we had to bring him back this week, and here he is once again, Max Stalling, the great
Hello.
Max Stalling.
It's so good to be back.
Amazing. Great to see you, my friend.
Yeah, so great to be back, man. Thank you for having me, Phil.
It's my pleasure. You know, we've tried to get Max on the show for 3 or 4 years, but my God, that's impossible. You and I both know that.
Yeah, I've got a pretty packed schedule, Phil. I stay pretty busy.
Drinking our coffee from the Crooked Tree right around the corner here in Uptown at the New Trinidad World Recording Dallas. This is what has brought Max into our fold here, man. Having a branch office in Dallas, yes. Texas, right here in beautiful Dallas, Texas, my hometown, born and raised here.
Uptown, absolutely. Now you really are literally from just where you're from, a little bit north of here, right?
A little bit north of here, little town called Highland Park. You heard of it?
They have a kind of a big crime problem right there.
Yeah. With guys like you trying to come there,
trying to drive through there.
Did I ever tell you the story about Troy Johnson trying to go through Highland Park?
No.
We talked about our old manager, Troy Johnson, who booked us. Troy, growing up in Pleasanton, Texas, isn't that right? Down there?
D-Town, yeah.
Well, Troy was officing in downtown Dallas with Matt Pivito,
mm-hmm.
booking gigs, booking me and Max. Who else he book? Honey Brown, who else
yeah,
did they
book? Daryl Dodd there for a little while.
Corey,
Mark David Manders.
Yeah. Oh, that place was full of Mark David Manders
oh,
merch.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so Troy, who I think it's safe to say was always aspired to be on the cutting edge of trendiness, of accepted societal...
Yes.
I don't know. He was looking to move up in the world.
Shake a little of the P-Town off of his old boots.
This is what people are wearing in Dallas now. Mm-hmm. These are my new shoes. You haven't seen this type of shirt? This is what's going on. I'm like, it looks good. You know, whatever. Well, Troy's kind of an old... He played some tennis growing up, apparently. He says, Phil, you grew up in Highland Park, right? And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, let me ask you something. He said, me and my friend decided we wanted to go hit some tennis balls. So we get in my car. It's a nice car. You see my car, whatever it was, a Ford Explorer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah. He goes, and we go over to, like, over there off of Lakeside Drive. There's some tennis courts there.
Yep.
So Troy gets out of the car, and he emphasizes during the story, I am wearing a nice collared shirt. He says that about 4 or 5 times. A nice collared shirt. I have a Prince racket. I'm like, okay, whatever. And his friend does too. And they proceed onto the tennis courts. They get ready to serve. All of a sudden, just woo! The cops just come up there, just, you guys need to get off here. Residents only. And Troy goes, and I was pissed. I was like, how does he know we don't live here in Highland Park? I mean, so Troy goes, we are resident. The cops just laugh and go, yeah, no, you're not. You guys go on. Y'all don't live here. And they're like, Troy's like, it made me so mad. How did he know? And of course, I didn't know, but I relished just shaking my head going, Johnson, you just know. You
can't. The chip is implanted at birth, isn't it?
Troy was just pointing to his shoes, pointing to his shirt. I was wearing this and this. There's no way he could have known. And I was like, you just know, dude. You just look, I grew up there. You just know that you don't belong. And they're not going to tolerate it.
Elysium.
He was so upset. I mean, he did not get one shot. The cops would just get out of here. You're not from here. Oh, we live here. No, you don't. Gone. So that was Troy's tennis experience.
Well, because in Highland Park at birth, aren't you? There's a microchip that's put in your hip. Isn't that right?
There's something. I think if you're born in Highland Park, you can dress like a bum with dreadlocks, and the cop would still kind of go, ah, oh, but he's like some,
right?
You know, he's a rich kid gone, but he lives here, whatever. They
the
know
prodigal
it.
Son.
Whereas if somebody from Fort Worth just kind of came walking over there thinking, you can just tell. You can just tell. You know what I mean?
It could be smell. There's a smell,
something,
probably.
Something in it.
The pheromones.
You've been around like me, man, a little ways.
Around the block a little bit.
What is something we were talking just off air earlier about you know what? Where's your mind now? I'm always interested to know where everybody's head is at. You know,
right.
Jack Ingram was in here the other night, and that's what we talked about. Hey, man, we're all whatever we are, in our 40s, and you're just you do it sneaks up on you. You start doing this thing in your 20s and early 30s, and you just look up and you're like, man, you know, it never occurs to you that maybe the reason things aren't the way going away. Man, you look around one day and everybody in the bar is 25 and you're 45 and you're like,
right,
wait a minute, wait, what do I do now? I don't know. How has your deal evolved to the years, or your mindset, or your approach to the business?
My
different now than maybe 10 years ago.
And, well, no, that's the thing. I haven't adjusted anything, and maybe it's time to make those adjustments, you know.
Yeah.
But I think you do it subtly. You don't make screech. I'm not going to change my wardrobe and go out and buy
a whole new
get-up or something. You know what I mean? I'm going to stay. I am who I
cover
am.
Cover yourself in tattoos and just.
And
just,
start wearing, a hoodie and, you know.
Yeah.
But and wear my shoes on the opposite feet or something. No,
that's
it's
right.
Not like that. Yeah. I think my deal is just, you know, the people that like what I do, I think are kind of hopefully gracefully coming along with me.
Right.
As we circle the sun.
And are kind of old school. You are the king of the old school country.
Yeah, it's kind of that. And a little kind of singer-songwritery and a little aw shucks, kind of Jimmy Stewart-y, kind of hee-haw mixed with a little bit of singer-songwriter thing.
As you once told me, back in the Napster era, or as Napster, I said, hell, Max, I said, people don't even, my fans don't buy CDs anymore. They just burn CDs. And Max said, my fans don't burn CDs. And I was like, oh, yeah? You just kind of – and then almost to yourself you go, they burn their trash maybe. My joke with Max was always there were a couple of little gigs and festivals where Max was like, hey, Phil, come play with me at this deal. Mm-hmm. And we're driving through the brush, man, dodging hogs. I'm just kind of like – I'm like, wait, what the – where are we going? I see a – a trash can on fire. Max like, yeah, they're right down here. I'm like, Phil, where the hell are we? Highland Park Phil's just looking around. You think they're going to kick Johnson out of Highland Park? They're going to identify me out here in the sticks.
String him up,
as some guy. Just, who's this guy?
What now, Phil, you've always said that, like, going to a stalling gig, you get on the highway, you leave the city, you go out of the city a few miles, and you turn onto the side road, the two lane road. Then you get off the two lane road,
keep
and you're
going
on kind of the one lane road. Then you cross over the bridge, and then you're going to turn on a dirt road,
right?
And you'll go down, and there'll be where somebody has cut the fence,
and
you turn through that,
and then you find that
path, and you follow that path, and you go down the hill, you go past the trailer house and the hog pens, and there's going to be
a generator out there.
There'll be a guy burning some trash in a barrel, warming his hands. Not there.
Wearing a
go
Max.
Past, yeah. Go past that. He's just taking the money at the gate.
Wearing a Max Stalling t-shirt.
Yes. And then you go past that. Down the hill. You got to push the brush aside and drive on in there, and that's where the stage will be.
There's no question. And, you know, you have just a niche. I think that's the whole thing. It's just – all of us have to find our own little niche.
Yeah.
And what works for us. And hey, man, this is how my deal works. I'm not saying you change your deal. You're going to do what you do, and that'll never change much, hopefully. But what do you see in the you know, you were just talking about the importance of the campaign, the management that you mm-hmm. see maybe in the other mm-hmm. bands, or the management that maybe didn't exist 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
The bands, organization of these acts.
Yeah, these acts are organized. They've got people that have people.
Yeah.
And they're on, you know, they're managing their social media, they're managing their merch, they're managing every single aspect of it. And there's somebody right. assigned to each major bucket. And, you know, yeah. kind of the old do-it-yourself thing is still there, I think, but it's just way more choreographed right. and facilitated. And
yeah.
And everything moves so much faster, which is the way the world operates now.
Right.
I mean, things last – what's the lifespan of a tweet?
Eight
seconds.
Or even
20,
an album.
35
you know,
seconds.
You,
yeah. Comes and
put
goes.
Put your new album online, and the next day or two, you get a lot of posts. Hey, man, great stuff. Love this. But, boy, about a week later, it's
yeah,
pretty quiet.
It's time for another
there's
record.
There's not a lot. It's time for yeah, another record.
Time
you know?
For
you're,
another
you're
product.
You're just kind of like, wow.
But I do think also, like I said, I think I'm seeing, you know, I get people that are saying, man, I really wanted to come see your show, but, I, you know, 11:30 start time, just, you know, not going to work for us
yeah.
anymore. And I don't, honestly, being really honest, I don't see me suddenly becoming a big hit with the
19-year-old crowd,
the 19-year-old sorority girls at TCU.
Boy, you and I, we never drew.
It's not because of my looks, though.
Yeah, right. No, of course not. But you and I, and our brand of what we do is not. I'm not saying it's not female friendly. I wouldn't say mm-hmm. that, but it does not draw the masses of young female fans. Would you say that's probably a true statement?
I would say that's it. I don't know if it's a true statement, but it's certainly been the way my career has turned
yeah,
out.
Yeah, me too. Well, you look at the bands who do sell out Billy Bob's or something, right. who are in the scene, oh, everybody's yeah. going. And it's always been like this.
Sure.
It's he who can draw said masses of cowboy boot, short skirt wearing 19-year-old mm-hmm. girls. He who draws them.
Yep.
Sells out.
Shall
Billy
inherit
Bob's.
The earth.
Shall inherit the earth. And you look at the careers, the ongoing careers of like an Eli Young or and you're like, what? What is the core of their audience? You're kind of like, what do you mean? What's the core of their audience? They draw girls.
Yeah.
James McMurtry, 181 paid of the smartest gray-haired music fans you've ever seen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Not a 19-year-old girl in sight, James McMurtry Show. Mm-hmm. God love him. We love him, of course.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
But you wonder what – I mean, that's kind of the whole thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, when you went to those early Pat shows and Ragweed, that's who was out there. A lot of guys, too, of course.
Yeah.
But
only the reason they were there.
Yeah. Was the girls were there. That's
yes.
right.
Yeah.
That was one of the starting points for sure. Jack Ingram, oh my gosh, he drew the girls.
Yeah.
And we never, my band, for whatever reason, was always kind of a guy's band.
Yeah.
And it was 15 guys at the table who loved the Stones and Steve Earle and appreciated Wilco.
If there was a hot girl,
like, yeah.
yeah, and if there was a hot girl, she had been drugged by her boyfriend.
Right.
To come to see
and
this.
Wanted to leave to go to the Eli Young show down
right.
the street, you know, the Randy Rogers show. You know, that's
yeah.
still something you see. When you go to Billy Bob's and there's a lot of people there, that's usually what's there.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, but what do
you know? My wife likes me, and that's yeah. all that really matters.
That's the only fan you need, man.
That's right.
A female.
I think
fan.
She likes me.
Is she still playing a lot?
Absolutely,
yeah.
man. They're doing really well.
She is. I have produced your wife on record before.
You have? I didn't
great
know that.
Heather, yes, of
what,
course.
What record was that?
It was a while back in Fort Worth.
Trinidad
it
World
was
Recording
on,
Studio.
Kevin Smith's record and Clay,
right.
Clay Thrash's record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I had a couple in the can.
Right,
it was
right, right.
I had a couple of yeah. albums. We were just doing some overdubs and
yeah.
she came over and did fiddle on like four on one record and four on the other.
I think
kind of
she
just
left
ran
your
right
studio
home.
And came over and we were mixing that DVD that I'd recorded.
I think that's right.
She left there and came
yeah.
over and you know her band Blacktop Gypsy.
Yeah, I see her.
Shameless
yeah,
self-promotion, familial
sure.
promotion. Is doing really good, man. I've told them multiple
yeah.
times, let me quit what I'm doing and manage you guys.
Right.
That's where the money is.
That's right.
But, you know, they're doing good. They're
yep.
out there hacking it, mm-hmm. hacking through the jungle.
Yeah.
Every day, and but I'm real proud of them. They got some great stuff, man.
Y'all play a lot of music around the house, or not that much?
You know, it's funny. This last month has been just jam.
Yeah,
we've been jamming a lot, just sitting around on the couch, and invariably, historically, that hasn't been the case.
Right.
We got instruments laying all over the place, but we don't usually sit and jam. But lately, we've just been. You know, let's turn off the TV and just let's run through some tunes.
Man, y'all be crazy not to do more of that.
We
just you and her going out.
Yeah, that's been very successful.
You get five paid is $50. You know,
yeah.
There's no quote unquote expense. There's no hard. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's right.
Anything that comes in is just hey. You know, we could have just been sitting at home instead. We're out here.
Yeah,
that's kind of that's a good feeling.
And we do enjoy that. I love playing with her, although she intimidates the hell out of me as a player.
She's a real musician. Max.
She's a real musician. Exactly. Yeah. Not a poser.
She
like
can.
Yourself,
she
like
had to train and read music and stuff like that. Right.
Absolutely.
Man, she was a great player. Didn't she play with Bob Schneider for a while?
Or still does.
She still does.
Yeah.
Just
Bob
up
has,
here, does she go down?
No. Bob does his Texas Bluegrass Massacre thing, and whenever he's...
When does he do that? Is it under his name, or is it another
name?
Yeah,
it's no, he just calls it the Bluegrass Massacre, and basically it's just all Bob's music done... Roughly faster and with an acoustic.
Where does he
kind
do
of
that?
Twinge.
Where does he do that?
They play Threadgills in Austin a lot. They play the Glass Cactus out here. He only uses it. They've done like the Old Settlers Festival in Round Rock.
Yeah,
he doesn't do it very often.
Yeah.
And I probably for the same reason we were just enumerating. It's a huge band.
Yeah.
Two fiddles, guitar player, bass player, banjo player, drummer, trumpet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And then Bob. And so there's no telling what. That cost for him to put on the road.
Right, right.
But when they do it, Heather either jumps in there or Warren Hood.
Yeah.
Sometimes both.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great show, man. I love it. I'm a big fan of that show.
I'm a big fan of Bob. I've never seen his bluegrass thing.
You ought to check it out sometime. It comes through occasionally.
Does he come to Dallas and do stuff up here?
Yeah, he brings it up here. He does it out there in Glass Cactus and Grapevine. I don't think they've done their Granada, but...
Bob, kind of Miles, telling you, we play as Phil Pritchard and the full band, and we also do kind of a British invasion deal. Bob is certainly a guy who has many facets to him.
Yes.
And plays the same markets a lot. He can play the Granada Theater once a week and do well.
Pretty much.
And it's probably hard to get booked. And he's playing for a living kind of thing. And so that's probably in his thinking, you know, like, hey, I'm coming with – me acoustic, and then it's me and the horns doing a scabs kind of thing.
Yeah,
and then the month after that, we're doing the bluegrass. Like, oh, it's a different show. We'll keep booking because the venues want to book him, but they just don't want it to be.
Yeah,
it's a nobody's interest to have the same thing all the time.
Yeah, so, all day every day.
Yeah, he's just kind of. I guess he's evolving to stay local.
Well, and I think the other thing that Bob does is he has so much new material.
Yeah. And old material. And just he's just always creating.
You know, when you go see Bob, and I don't know about his other shows, but with the bluegrass guys, he puts his iPad up there.
Yeah.
And he's keeping his lyrics rolling.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Because I know for a fact, because Heather will get an email from Bob, you know, the day before the gig, and there'll be five new songs to learn for that show that night.
Wow. I mean, yeah.
But he's built himself an infrastructure in his life. It appears to me. I don't know this for sure.
Right.
But I think he must write every day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know he has that club, the little songwriters club thing.
Yeah.
Have you heard that story?
No. Uh-oh.
Basically.
Oh, he tells everybody to write a song
or
something?
Yeah. He puts out a phrase to keep people honest so they don't write ahead. But you are required to stay in the club. Mm-hmm. You have to submit a song every week, a finished, complete song.
Yeah.
And everybody's been in it over the years. I think Jack was in it for a while.
Right,
I think
Hayes
Carl's been in it for a while.
Sure.
I want to say Jason Mraz is in it right
now.
Yeah. And so Bob issues this phrase. He'll say, I don't know.
Yeah. Some weird.
Red balloon.
Yeah.
And you
got to
incorporate that in a song. And if you skip 2 weeks, I think you're out.
Something.
I don't know about you, Phil, but I wouldn't last. I probably wouldn't make it a whole week.
You wouldn't last in that? Oh,
no.
Come on. You got to reach down deep, man. Trust yourself. Go with your instincts.
I guess. Says the guy who I haven't had a record out since 2010.
Get some material flowing.
I know.
Bob was, when he first, of course, he's always been around forever, but he started really doing well in a parallel universe. Outside of the Texas music scene.
Wait, there's another world outside of the Texas?
And sort of, yeah.
No.
It's amazing.
Come on, Phil.
Come on, Max. Come on. Take off your boots for a second and look around.
This is crazy talk, Phil.
Well, listen to this. a few years back, one of the last Ziegenbach festivals run by Matt Pivetot. Huh. Before disaster. But Bob was brought on to the bill. Mm-hmm. And of course, Bob was kind of a legend, you know, all over Texas, and but not known personally by anybody in the Texas music country frat boy ranks. Mm-hmm. So, but we had played with Bob a few times at the Granada and way back in Austin, so I kind of knew him. Bob's one of those guys that he never remembers your name kind of thing, like, hey, what's up, you know. Aloof, to be sure. Nice guy, but I kind of knew him. And so we were backstage and behind the venue, and Bob was on the bill. So it was, I think it was Randy Rogers and Stoney, and all these guys are hanging out. Yeah. And someone's, Troy Johnson, I've been Troy again. Dude, there's Bob, all these big Bob. So everybody looks around, and here's Bob by himself, standing there by himself, just kind of watching whoever was on stage, just kind of. Sunglasses on, dressed in black, just hanging out. But no one knew him to go up to him. And so all these guys, you know, are a Twitter about Bob is standing over here. And so I say, you know what? I kind of know Bob. You know, maybe I just kind of walk over to him. I say, hey, Bob, Phil Pritchard, as we play the Granada. He kind of, oh, yeah, what's going on, man? I said, man, I didn't think this was the kind of gig you'd play. He just kind of looks at me and says, like, you mean country frat boy rock? I'm like, yeah, man. He goes, hey, we do it all. And we started laughing and talking. So anyway, so me and Bob start kind of talking. And I look over and I'm aware. And, dude, there's 50 of these guys all just eyes fixed on me. I'm talking to Zeus, you know, like I'm talking to Bob Dylan or something. So me and Bob are just yucking it up, just laughing or something, you know, whatever. We exchange a few pleasantries, but we talked for a long time, and I gotta admit I felt a little puffed up as that conversation subsided. Sure, yeah. And I drifted back to the pack, and boy, here they come,
to the riffraff.
What'd he say? Did you talk to Bob? How did you know Bob? What'd he say? And I'm just like, I don't know, man. We're talking, hanging out, you know. But that was a feeling of great importance for me.
Absolutely.
So, man, me and Bob are tight, as you can see, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he didn't want to talk to any of you guys, I noticed.
Yeah, he didn't mention y'all's name.
That's Bob, right.
He's got that effect on people. He's a cool dude.
He is. He's aloof.
Talented. Aloof. I think it's important to maintain that level of aloofness to be cool. I can't do it myself, but
I can't
pull it off. But you're good at it, Phil.
Am I?
Yeah.
I'm here on a – you know, it's a fine line between in the old days there was a great deal of mystery and aloofness to our band people. Mm-hmm. No one knew what Led Zeppelin even looked like until you went to the concert, or Michael Jackson at Texas Stadium. You're like, is the whole place going to explode? Or you couldn't watch a show on YouTube nights before. Right. Oh, here's what it looks like. You know, there was great mystery. Mm-hmm. And then we've gone through an era and are still in an era of, if you want to be relevant at all, you have to constantly film yourself, tweet, tell them what you're having for breakfast. To even be in the conversation.
To build a personal
mystery,
relationship.
Mystery is history. You've got to be in it with your fans and stuff like that. But I don't know. Where do you fall on that plane? Do you think there's something to being a little saving something reserved to the artist? Or do you just throw in with your fans? Hey, driving past the Sam Houston. Hey, man. You know, I don't know.
I'm always like the first guy out to the merch booth. And I'm always
you're a man of the people.
I really enjoy visiting with people, though.
Right.
So there's that aspect. But
sure.
No, I really do think you have to save a little something.
Right.
If for your own sanity,
yeah.
If for no other reason, you know, business, marketing, whatever, be damned. But yeah, I think you got to save a little something back. But no, I'm Mr. Gladhand out there. I like to learn about people. Where are they from? Who are they? What do they do for a living? Blah blah blah. But I mean, I'm fortunate that way. I'm in a business that's about people. And oh, by the way, I like people. And I know that's weird for you.
Well, you bit my head off. You bit my head off one time for playing that guy's ranch down there near Corpus. Remember that?
Paul Dirks?
Yes.
That's my honey hole.
Well, I got booked at Paul Dirks' ranch, who I didn't know. But he said, hey, we're having a high school graduation out here. So I get out to Paul Dirks' nice ranch, which I heard he sold, by the way.
He did, but he's got another little thing now.
So I went out there, and the guy said, nice to meet you, Phil. We're doing this. So it was a lot of high school. What's the high school down there? George West High School. Yeah. And so we played. It was great. And Paul said, hey, I'm you know Max Stalling? I said, of course, man. He goes, oh, man, Max has played out here a bunch, you know, and we're all big supporters of him and all. So anyway, so I call Max. I'm like, you know, happy. I say, hey, man, I met a bunch of guys down there. You're like, oh, yeah, where was that? I was like, oh, at Paul Dirks's ranch. Just silence on the phone. Silence. I'm like, Max. He's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, did you hear what I said? I was at Paul Dirks's ranch. He goes, what are you doing down there? I'm like, I don't know. They called me for some gig. Well, what was it for? I'm like, I don't know, some thing. What's the big deal? And you're just like, man, that's my honey hole down there. What are they doing booking you at something? You're all pissed off. I was like, sorry.
But that's me biting somebody's head off.
Yeah. Silence. That's right.
But every gig you play there is one that I'm not.
Not playing. Just my Max plays here all the time. Yeah, but that was always a good paying gig for you. Oh, I've been through that same experience where someone goes, hey, man, Phil, I played at your place. Your guy says he's a big fan. I'm like, oh, really? When'd you play there? Oh, last month, man. Played there. Christmas party. I'm like, we played that last year. We're supposed to play that every year. Wait, you can't help but feel that way.
Yeah.
You're always thinking, oh, it's really over. Oh, well.
That's the end.
Do you still get tons of private parties, or is it pulled back over the years a little bit?
No, man. We play one almost – it seems like we play one almost every weekend.
Is that right?
Yeah. We played one last Saturday. We're playing one this Thursday. We played – We stay real. I'm very fortunate. People
that
like
is,
to have
man.
Us.
That is
and I think it's because I don't steal the silverware. We try to show up and be respectful of people. And
Yeah. Good deal, man.
Not like the Pritchett crew.
Yeah, right. We're tough to handle. I feel like I get a lot of inquiries about private parties.
Yeah.
And they come through a little more less often, you know, than I would like. I mean, because we love doing them. And I talked to a couple other bands that kind of said that. They go, yeah, man, it's kind of – I don't know. Maybe there's just more bands out there who are available. I don't know.
Do you find any bands that don't like private parties? I mean, I know there's some guys that just won't do them. They price themselves out.
They do.
Like, if you'll pay me $25,000, I'll come play your house.
That's right. No, I do know a lot of guys who say, "Man, don't you hate playing weddings and stuff?" And I'm always the opposite. I'm always like, "Man, we love it, you know. I'll do it all I can." I mean, really, that's what's fun about we do the gigs at the mansion. It's almost like always playing a wedding. There's everyone's at a party or staying at the hotel. It's no one's driving away that night. It's everyone dances and it's always just great fun, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun always. And you're always trying to make them come through, but it's hard sometimes.
You can't make them.
No, you just kind of say, hey, here's what we'll do, and we'll get back to you, and they don't. And you're kind of like, oh, well, you know. You can't help but save that little date on your April 23rd. I still got a little hold on that. I hadn't heard back from the guy, but you'd hate to just book some crappy gig on that night, you know, in case they got back to you.
Yeah.
Well, folks, Max Stalling has been here, expounding wisdom, history, thought. And we are the beneficiaries. I thank Max for coming by. The first of many more appearances here on the podcast.
Absolutely. Now that I know the address, I'm going to be here. You're going to be sorry, dude. You'll be terribly sorry.
We have set up shop here in Uptown Dallas, Texas, man. People moving through all the time. It just opens kind of another whole corridor. This is the first podcast we've recorded in the new building here in Dallas. And the first guest we've had in quite some time.
I know it's going to be cool.
It's going to be great, man. So we appreciate you being here, Max. Great catching up with you. Let's go get something to eat next
door. Yeah, thanks to all the P2 fans out there, man.
Man, go out, check out all of Max's stuff, maxstalling.com. Yeah. Still going strong, thriving. But before you book him for a private party, price out the full band first. We'll make you or better yet, just book us both, man.
Nah,
just book us
now
both.
We're talking. Yeah.
Oh man, you'd be horrified by you know. I've got the Stetson Open Road hat playing.
What?
Y'all, man, look at the boots and the. Come on, you know we do the elephant. You know.
Yeah.
You know,
play the white elephant. You're going to need a hat.
We adjust a little bit. I used to give Max such a hard time about being a pure skronky bonker back in the day.
Skronky bonker. I hadn't heard that term in a long time.
We were the rock and roll Tom Petty band. Max is the country band. And yet here we were playing only shows together. So much fun. But, you know, I've evolved a little bit. As you have, I'm sure.
I hope now, so, but
wife,
who knows?
Your wife playing with Bob Schneider? I mean, come on, what's that all about?
It's my only credibility.
Yeah, I know. It gives you a lot, though. It gives you a lot. Well, thanks, Max, for being here.
Man, thanks, Phil. It's always a pleasure.
Email me, Phil, at philpritchard.com. Questions, comments, whatever. We always answer your questions here on the air. Get them flowing. Send them to me, Phil, at philpritchard.com, or call me 817-733-5256 to book Phil Pritchard and the full band, or book the British Invasion Band. The British are coming. Or come record here at the studio in Dallas, or at the studio in Fort Worth, or wherever you might be. Heck, I produced a record down at Yellow Dog Recording in Austin. You been down there?
No, but I see Adam Oder's posts
yeah,
all
sure.
the time.
Oh, yeah, man. We did a record with my friend Brian Hunt down there. So I will travel, man. I'll come down wherever you are to help you get through a project. So keep that in mind. Well, until next time, folks, my thanks to Max Stalling, the first of many more to come. And we will see you next week on the podcast, folks. Be good to each other out there. Much tougher. Why should I care? Now please don't bother trying to